To keep up to date with the latest from UEFA Euro 2016, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or follow us on SoundCloud.
Hello and welcome to this bonus show with me, Rob Daly. Alongside me, our Portugal team correspondent, Joe Walker, for UEFA.com. Joe, thanks for coming on the show.
No worries at all, Rob. Happy to be here.
We were talking before about, you know, given the nature of Portugal's campaign, are you quite surprised to still be working on the tournament, to be going to the final?
Yeah, well, I think you can tell by the slight laugh in my voice there. Yes, I am still surprised, especially after Portugal got off to a bit of a false start with the 1-1 draw against Iceland. Iceland are debutants. Everybody thought Portugal were just going to steamroller them. However, in retrospect, I think we can all say that a 1-1 draw with Iceland isn't actually a bad result.
No, having
having seen their performance this tournament, when you saw them two more draws in the group stage in one of the, shall we say, the less hard groups of the tournament, you thought they finished third in this group. Croatia, who'd just beaten Spain, I pretty much saw I was going home at the round of 16 stage.
To explain to people, how does it work for a reporter who's covering a team like this?
Well, basically, reporters are sent out with every team for UEFA.com, and we are essentially immersed in the day-to-day activities that the team do. The typical day would start maybe at 8 o'clock by leaving the hotel to drive to the Portugal training camp, because they're early risers. We'd go to their training camp, have a coffee, a croissant when we get there, and then probably watch the 15 minutes that are open to the media of training. Obviously have to keep an eye out to see who's injured, if anyone looks like they might have a slight limp.
Or doing individual training or anything like that, right?
That's one of the major things, because you have to keep on top of that, not only for team news but also fantasy football, which has been a big theme of this tournament as well. And then there would typically be a press conference with a player or the coach just after that. They would obviously take questions from all sorts of media from all over the world, and the job is to get that information out there as quickly but also as accurately as possible. And then with regards to matches, we would generally travel the day before the game. We would travel on match day minus one, go to all the media activities that the team do, so that would be the training session and then the press conference, and then obviously go to the game and cover the game. It's been a real privilege to do what we've done. I'm sure everyone would say that, not just myself. And obviously getting to the final is an added bonus that I didn't think would happen.
Going into the final, do you think that France are the favourites and the Portugal are, you know, as much as it can be, the underdogs?
It's an interesting parallel, actually, with 12 years ago when Portugal were the host nation playing against Greece in the final. Portugal were the much fancied home nation, the star names, the great team, and Greece were the underdogs who kind of scrapped their way in a rather ugly manner to the final. And this time France are the host nation, who, you know, they've got Antoine Griezmann, who's been the star of the tournament. Everyone's behind them, the whole country is united behind this team. And Portugal are the team who have scraped their way to the final, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the amount of draws that they've come through, you know, penalty shootout, extra time winner, and then getting their first actual win in 90 minutes only in the semi-final. So it's, you know, it's kind of been reversed the roles, and I definitely think Portugal are underdogs. Even Cristiano Ronaldo, he spoke to us yesterday at Portugal's training base, and he said that he thought France were favourites largely because of the home advantage.
From Cristiano Ronaldo, obviously a lot of is made of his goals and assists, but do you see a guy who is a real captain, who's a real leader of that group of players?
Yes, definitely. In and around the group, he's at the centre of everything. He's, you know, one of the first out onto the training pitch, sprints out. He's always with Ricardo Quaresma by his side. They're like a couple of likely lads hanging out together all the time. But, you know, he says, telling jokes. He's in the middle of, you know, the stretches. It'll be him in the middle, you know, geeing everyone up. And you've seen, even before the penalty shootout, the way he spoke to João Moutinho, the way he said, no, come on, you're going to take one. That was real, you know, exercising real leadership.
That's one of my favourite bits of the tournament, man.
Yeah,
it was great.
He's not necessarily given the credit for being a leader. A lot of people see him as an individual, and you don't see these things behind the scenes, that when you're covering the training every day and the camaraderie in the camp and how good the atmosphere and the confidence is within the Portugal team, you don't see that a lot if you're just watching a game. But you see things like that, and you see, actually, you know, Ronaldo, he's very much in it for the team, and he will do, you know, his role. You look at his role, he's not tried to be at the centre of absolutely everything. He's not dropping deeper and deeper and deeper to collect the ball. He's playing as a striker, which is
that's very
the
true
role
he's
that
playing
Fernando
his position
Santos,
yeah.
has asked him to play, and I think, and it's working for Portugal, and it's working for him.
France is a fantastic team. They are, in my opinion, a little bit more favorite than us because they play in home, and it's, in my opinion, this is a big advantage. The whole country is going to support them, but it's a final. Everything can happen. We are prepared. We're going to be prepared. And we're going to be difficult to beat since the tournament start. Nobody beat us, so I hope France not going to beat us too. So we are going to be prepared, and it's going to be a tough game for both of us. It's something that I always dream, to win something important for Portugal national team. I win everything in terms of individual, in terms of collective in the clubs where I passed. So it will be a huge achievement if I will win something for Portugal. I believe, my colleagues believe too, all Portugal believe, and the immigrants in France, they believe too. So we have to believe positive, because I think going to be Sunday the first time that Portugal going to win.
Do you think he is aware that he probably won't get too many more opportunities to win a major international title? So what is he, 32 now? 31.
I think with Cristiano Ronaldo, I don't think he would admit it publicly, but I think privately, the same goes for a lot of this Portugal team. You know, look at Pep, he's 33, Ricardo Carvalho's 38, Bruno Alves 34, Jose Font, even the Southampton skipper, he's 32, Nani's 29. For a lot of them, it's pretty much now or never. So I think that they all acknowledge that this is their time. If they're ever going to do it, they won't have a better chance, because in 2 years, 4 years' time, they'll all be that little bit older.
So you've just arrived in Paris. What's the latest team news of Portugal going into the final?
Well, this morning, there was a big boost for Portugal. This morning being Saturday morning, Pep has returned to full training. He obviously missed the win against Wales and had been a major injury doubt going into the final. And for me, he's probably been Portugal's best player this tournament. While Ronaldo and Nani might have got the headlines, he has been the rock at the back. His performance against Poland, he shut. Mm. After Lewandowski scored after 2 minutes, he barely got a sniff. And that was largely due to the Real Madrid defender's performance. So the big team news is that he's back, he's fit, and he is almost certain, barring any last-minute hitches, to start. The other team news would be that it looks as if William Carvalho would come back into the centre of midfield, having missed the win against Wales through suspension, for Danilo, who was excellent in that game. But William Carvalho plays alongside Adrian Silva and João Mário for his club Sporting, and Fernando Santos likes that they have that consistency in there.
So what areas do you think, you look at the France team and how Portugal play, are there any key areas you think Portugal can get at, given the nature of the way that they play and the way that France have been playing? We presume that France will go with the same lineup that won the semi-final.
Yeah, well, I think one thing with France is that possibly Portugal can get at the defence, because in midfield, the athleticism and energy of someone like Paul Pogba, the guile of Antoine Griezmann going forwards, the power of Olivier Giroud, they're very strong there. However, if you look, maybe someone like Renato Sanchez can get at Patrice Evra on the left back. And I'd find it quite interesting that Samuel Umtiti may well start the final for France, having only been named in the reserve list initially.
Yeah.
And then actually left out of the squad when Adil Rami, who wasn't even in the reserve list, was then called up ahead of him. So Samuel Umtiti, I think he started his first ever game for France in the quarterfinal, played his second ever game for France in the semi-final. So he's an inexperienced defender. Cristiano Ronaldo, 130 odd caps to his name. Maybe, just maybe, there is a weak link at the heart of the defence there.
And Joe, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, genuinely, I think that France, with the support behind them, the atmosphere, with the crest of a wave that they're riding, I think that my head says that France will win it, but my heart would obviously love, having come this far with Portugal, would obviously love Portugal to go on and complete the job and allow Cristiano Ronaldo to get the one thing missing from his trophy cabinet.
You mentioned that the French support there, the Portuguese support in this country, given the big sort of expat community, has been pretty good as well.
Oh, it's been absolutely incredible. Even this morning in Marcoussi, for the last training session, there was at least 300-400 people just stood outside the gates, couple of hundred metres away from the pitch with no chance of seeing anything that's going on, but singing away, you know, it's incredible. And France is obviously home to the world's largest Portuguese expat population, which helps. And that's going to make for a great atmosphere, because wherever this team have gone, they've been supported incredibly by the Portuguese who live here. So they know that they will have a good support in the stadium as well as France. And I think it's all set up to be a classic. There'll be a lot of families who are divided in France, because a lot of people might have one parent of Portuguese extraction, yeah, the other one's French, etc. So there'll be a lot of divided families, a lot of divided loyalties, but I think that will just all add to the atmosphere and the ambience.
Joe, where can people follow your stuff during the final?
During the final, obviously, on the match feed on Euro2016.com, we will be constantly updating throughout the build-up during the game, and obviously in the aftermath as to what happens, and on Twitter at UEFA.com, Joe W.
Joe, thanks for coming on.
No worries, mate.
Thanks for listening to the official UEFA Euro 2016 podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes or follow us on SoundCloud.